thank the Lord that Dick and Doreen's son is alive, and we'll keep praying for him as well, for the all the issues in everybody's life, but his included. And I was thinking, Dick reminded me, a morning of prayer is this Saturday. And I know Liam's schedule has been real crazy. And he asked me if he thought that would work. And I said, well, it's awful short notice. But if it works for you, we'll go ahead with it. So just to be aware of that. I would appreciate that. Thank you, Hazel. Yeah. 8:30 to 11:30, and come as you can. And so I think pray for Liam. I mean, I think he's doing pretty good, but his job's fairly stressful sometimes, and his security job. And so just pray for the young guy. And they're doing pretty good. Joanna's in Kingston back and forth, so finishing up her degree, which is a real blessing. And anyway, Jack reminded me our grandson just had his, he had tubes and adenoids out, and yeah, so he's, I talked to him tonight, I saw him just a second, and I said, how are you feeling? It was just yesterday. He says, oh, I said, I don't feel very good. He said, I think I'm going to die. So, anyway, I'm not thinking that, but anyway, he's a poor little guy. Anyway, it's amazing. You know, we have these little ones. You just pray, right? Just pray for them in every respect. Okay, let's ask God to help us. Father, we do thank you for your kindness, your goodness. We do pray. We pray for Craig. We thank you so much that this was not a different situation as it could have been so easily. We just pray you would work in his life in wonderful ways as an outcome of this. We pray for Ron as he's going on Friday, and I know he's just totally exhausted. We pray that you'll protect him and help Joan and Matthew and the whole family. And Father, we know there's so many other needs, and we just entrust each one to you, each one that's been mentioned tonight. We just ask that you would work and bring about your will, that you would accomplish your best in. And we pray for our chapel that we'll be a lighthouse. As we've said many times, you'll guide us. Help us be true to you, be faithful to your word, and just honor you. And we pray that you'll bless Saturday morning. May it be an encouraging time, a real powerful time of prayer. Pray for the young people on Friday as they meet. And you work in a great way there. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to protect ministries. And we ask your blessing right now in Christ's name. Amen. I was thinking about this, you know, how strange things come to mind sometimes when you're driving. But I think when we would get on a horse, and let's say we were going to go work cattle or maybe just a pleasure ride. But often if you're on a farm, you know this, if you had a horse, when you were just leaving the barn, they kept pulling to one side or the other. They always wanted to go back to the barn because their reasoning, I think, I don't really know horses totally. I'm not a psychiatrist of horses, but my thought is they either wanted food or they didn't want to work. And I think maybe a little of both. So you'd always, until you got out there a ways, they were just pulling. My horse would always pull to the right. So you're pulling, redirect until you get far enough away. But I thought as we pursue these areas of wisdom, a lot of times in our sin capacity, we're pulling. We're not necessarily wanting to go the Lord's way. We're pulling. We have these challenges. And tonight we have a challenge I think is a real cultural issue, and I'm sure all of us can testify in some setting where I'm sure we all struggle with it sometimes ourselves, but just in the workplace and in social settings, the choice between laziness and diligence. It just seems like that has become a major problem in the culture. And I just would like, as we make these choices, as we choose between laziness and diligence, I want to begin in Proverbs 15:19. Proverbs 15:19. And we think of this portion. And of course, there are a number or various passages that deal with this subject, and I'll turn to some of them. But Proverbs 15:19, in the New King James, it says, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Now, the New Living Translation, which tries to sometimes kind of pave it out so you can understand a little more clearly. It says, "A lazy person has trouble all through life." And I think what they're doing, working on that, the idea, it's a hedge of thorns. You know, if you're going down a hedge of thorns and you get close, obviously you know you got too close because the thorn kind of jumped out at you and caught you. Now, a lazy person has problems. They create their own problems. You remember this this proverb in Proverbs 22:13. It says, "The lazy man says, 'There is a lion outside, and I shall be slain in the streets.'" Always an excuse for not working. I remember one commentator made this comment. He says, "It's like saying, 'I can't go to work today. I might get run over by a truck.'" And I was thinking of Craig. He did go to work and got run over by a truck. But anyway, you think, you know, you're always looking for a reason, right? Why you shouldn't have to work? Why you shouldn't have to go through this? In our culture, I really do think this is a huge problem. You know, people will say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to work. They don't pay me enough." And I'm sure you've probably heard that. Marty and I have remembered the times when we lived in California, and I had just different odds and end jobs. I was trying to find something to eat, and so we were broke, and Marty was working at a real low pay, and I was working at Manpower, which they'd always dump you off in a, you know, some place for a temporary time. And one time I got dumped off into a factory, and it was a fairly large factory, and they made these panels that they would put on these high-rise buildings. So, you know, really you're hoping these things are built fairly well. But I tell you what, looking from the inside out, these guys, it was in California. They were doing drugs at lunch break. Everybody, except me, I think, maybe a few other people, they'd go out and get high. And this one foreman put me in kind of a responsible position. And I guess because, you know, I was a little more tentative, I was a little more on top of it because I'd learned how to work as a kid on a farm. But these guys, I didn't get any boost in pay. I just got more responsibility. But these guys got really angry at me because they did not want to work. And I remember one event where actually we were carrying this big panel, and these two guys on the other end who were mad at me, they said to the other guys, "Push," and I was on this other end. And they were trying to take me out so that work would get a little easier, I guess. But I thought, what a mess, right? What a mess, a culture of people who don't want to work. And think of this passage. This is one that you will remember when I start reading it. But Proverbs 24, verse 30. And this is a lesson the Proverbs writer states. And again, when I read it, you understand it immediately, and it will come to your mind. Proverbs 24:30. "I pass by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense." And today, when I was reading that lacking sense caught my attention. Lacking sense, "and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with needles. And its stone wall was broken down." Obviously, they weren't taking care of the property. They weren't taking care of the walls. Everything was crumbling. "When I saw," verse 32, "when I saw, I reflected upon it." Okay, he had a lesson from life. "I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man." Now, again, the New Living Translation puts that last verse 34. And poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. And again, all poverty is not because of laziness. We understand that. People have worked hard and lost things and they didn't have no control. But sometimes it's a result of refusing to just work. And it's a terrible plight for an individual and for a culture. I thought this is always an interesting verse. Now, this is in Proverbs 18:9. So you see, and there are some verses I haven't read, but this is one in Proverbs 18:9. And I've seen this occur. A lazy person, again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Now, you think of that, as bad as somebody who destroys things. But if you have, let's say, you have equipment, but you never service it. You never properly care for it. Well, what are you doing to the equipment? Well, you're letting it deteriorate just because you're not caring for it. So a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. And I think this is one thing we need to encourage. And I'm sure you did, encourage your kids to work and encourage your grandkids. You know, they're allergic to work, and I think that's part of being having a sin nature, right? We want it to be the easiest way. Let's have, mañana, do it tomorrow instead of today, right? And so, but the diligence of work. Now, we do it. We need to do it for the right reason. And this is a verse that you've heard many times, Proverbs 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. Now, again, that means, you know, with effort. This is in Colossians. Did I say Proverbs? Colossians 3, I'm sorry. Colossians 3, you can see I didn't service my brain. Okay, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. And this is the motive, as for the Lord. It's not just to be a workaholic. Now that's not a biblical principle, because workaholism is motivated by the wrong thing. Usually you're trying to prove something, or you know, you get somebody's acceptance, or your dad told you were a lousy loser and you're trying to compensate for that the rest of your life, you know? We're not talking about that. We're talking about hard work because we're doing it as unto the Lord. And as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And we've dealt with that recently, but I think that's an important passage. Okay, now we have another area of choice. And I want to, Ross Kearney, when he was here, he talked about speech. We're going to talk about careless words and careful words, the choice. Now this one you know. Again, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Boy, it's so easy to have that first, isn't it? You know, I was in the grocery store just this last week, and somebody else was with me, and so we were checking out, and I thought they were pushing the cart through, right? But they didn't push the cart through, and I was on the other end trying to put stuff in bags, right? And so, well, I was getting ready to do that, and then I turned around and I realized the cart was back there, and this person was behind it, you know, waiting in line, right? Well, I'm sorry. Well, then I looked at their eyes. They had the dirtiest look on, you know, like, I hate you, I hate you. And I wanted to say something special for that person, right? I said, thank you, but in my heart, I said, I'm sorry. But in my heart, I was thinking something else when I saw those eyes, right? And so, you know, thank the Lord when you keep your trap zipped, right? And sometimes I haven't, but as I've said before, the older I get, the more I'm thankful for the things I didn't say. And so, but a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, let's think of, this is close to that, but Proverbs 17:27. again, just some of these wisdom nuggets that are given by God, inspired nuggets from the Lord. Proverbs 17:27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He who restrains his words has knowledge. Now, I was thinking about Liam and when I was reading this afternoon, and he was telling me, of course, he does security, and he works over on the campus at Lindsay right now. And a lot of times he's doing night work, and it has his students, right? So some of these students are coming back at night. They're intoxicated, all kinds of situations. And so I was asking Liam just how he manages it and how he handles that. Well, he was saying, a lot of times, especially if you can understand, if somebody's intoxicated and you have to correct them or tell them don't do something or you know, then their rage, they just get angry, right? They just rage on you. And Liam said, you just have to, what they train us to do and what you have to do is just, you just let them rage. You just let them rage and just let them get it out of the system. And usually then they'll kind of calm down, right? Now, I know that's not always true. But anyway, I'm thinking, that's a great example, right? Of when people are out of control, and sometimes he who restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit. Now, I thought cool spirit is a man of understanding. So anyway, thank the Lord. I just thought that came to my mind when I was thinking of some questions I'd asked Liam, and I thought that sounds like he's able to do that. We got to pray for his safety too, probably, right? And when you're a security guard. Okay, this is another one, and it's just moving through Proverbs. This is Proverbs 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. How important it is, again, and all three of those Proverbs, just restraining ourselves by, and again, this is by God's Spirit, right? Because we think of the fruit of the Spirit, the last fruit that's mentioned is self-control. How we need that self-control, controlling our speech, our words, our emotions, and He guards His soul from trouble. We spare ourselves from a lot of problems. May God just help us in this. Just help us. Let's go all the way back to the New Testament. Let's go to Ephesians 4:29 for a moment. Ephesians 4:29. And this is a very important and practical instruction. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk, and this is from the ESV, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I think when we think, Ephesians is so adapted and aimed at the church. And remember, when we talked about purpose of the church, we're to please Christ, we're to, by abiding, staying tight with Him, and then the next is build up the body of Christ. God loves His people, He loves His church, and we are to build up. A lot of the ways we build up, it's not the only way, but a lot of the way is by what we say. Now, of course, our speech should be gauged and built up by the Word, so that the truth is impacting the way we think and then the way we talk. But it's important when we relate to each other. How important. Now, I came in just late. Dick and I had some responsibilities this morning in timeout, so we weren't here for timeout. But anyway, we were here. But just think, all the communication that goes on at timeout, whether it's with little ones, Hazel knows all about those little ones, and then all the others. So that communication. And so when people left here today, I assume, they keep coming back, I assume that was a positive, encouraging, building up. So, but that's what we need You know, like what we said, we're in this room in fellowship time. We need to be building up speech that is not corrupting, that it doesn't break people down or discourage people or create negative, sinful thoughts, but only such, notice that little word, only such as is good for building up or edification, your version may read, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that interesting? May give grace. Grace. So if we allow God to work in and through us, it builds up the body. And so, this is, you know, the first part, we were talking about guarding our mouth. This part is about, obviously it includes that, but it's communicating things that encourage and build up, instruct. Now, it doesn't always mean we don't challenge something or we don't have to deal with difficult things. But our desire is to build up people, to build them up. So speech is something very, very important. It's easy for it to get out of hand. And then it may, you know, it's amazing things that are said. I remember one time reading Francis Schaeffer in a little book he did on the church. And he said, he was talking about churches that had split. And he said, some churches have split. And then because of things that were said at the heat of the moment. A lot of times it wasn't over a doctrinal issue, although obviously we know that happens too. But a lot of times it was something said in the heat of the moment that is ingrained, left ingrained in a person's mind. They can't forgive it. They won't resolve it. And that then is passed on to the children. So a lot of times your first generation passes on their bitterness to the second generation because of something that was said that was never either apologized for or forgiven for. So how may God, you know, I think when we go to a meeting, whether it's a men's business meeting or, you know, a lady fellowship, you know, we just say, God, protect, especially if it's, you know, there are issues that need to be decided, decisions that need to be made. God, guard our tongue and guard our heart, right? Obviously, if we don't have our heart guarded, our tongue's going to get out of the cage. But how important it is. And we set an example. And I'm saying this. I'm very, very thankful for the many, many kind things that are expressed, the good things that are expressed. May God just protect us. Just keep us healthy, safe. Now, let's talk about a little bit. I want to talk about, and we won't go a long ways on this, but unhealthy and healthy friendships. Now, this may be in an area where we are going to, and I think a lot of what we need to do is think, you know, who does God want me to especially encourage? And so when I think as we're going along, who does God want us to mentor? There are younger people. Mentor doesn't mean you have this necessarily long, involved, detailed ministry to somebody. But you know, there are people in this chapel that are younger than we are that need somebody to come along and encourage them, and encourage them. Maybe it's to go out for coffee. Maybe it's just to sit in here, you know, when fellowship time's going on. Maybe it's to sit with them during church, whatever it is. But one thing we can help younger people is that we can suggest this. They may not accept it, but choosing wise friends. I was talking to one of you about this, and I won't say specifically, but about a person that we both have a burden for. Choosing bad friends is so dangerous, right? And some people will get involved in a friendship that can lead down a dangerous, dangerous road. And let's just talk about, let's read this kind of a caption to the whole thing, Proverbs 13:20. And it sets the tone then for some other things that give us specifics. Proverbs 13:20. We read this. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I'll read it one more time. You've heard it. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I bet we could all give illustrations of where we've seen either side or the other, right? Let's just think about a few, and then we'll close. This is an interesting one, but it talks about the gossip. And I'm going to read in Proverbs 16:28. Now, talk about choosing your friends. One kind of friend you don't want to have as a close friend is a person who gossips. And you probably immediately know why, because you're going to be on the receiving end of some of this gossip. But anyway, Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Now, that's from the NIV. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Why would they do that? Well, if a gossip hears something, they just can't hardly wait to share it, right? They can't hardly wait to share it. It's a sad thing, but you really dare not share a confidential thing with a person who loves to share with somebody else. You dare not do it. That's why in leadership it's so important to have confidence, you know, keep confidences and be confidential. But a gossip separates close friends, because all of us, you know, we've all messed up. But a person who loves to gossip, if they hear even a possibility of your mess up, they're going to share that. Or if you know something about a good friend of yours and you happen to share it to the wrong person, and then that person shares it with somebody else, your friend has been wounded by your tongue through that other person. So we need to be so, may God help us in choosing friends. Proverbs 17:9 is, again, it gives us, in this, it gives us both sides. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Now, again, we're not talking about ignoring sin. In Proverbs 17:9, he who covers over an offense promotes love. Aren't there, surely all of us know a secret about somebody else that we haven't shared, because we know it would only hurt that person and it wouldn't help anybody. And may God help us hold on to that thing for the rest of our life, if need be, right? And so, he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. There's a friend of mine, and none of you know I live a long way from here, but every once in a while when he calls me, I get the feeling he always wants to share something about somebody else. I'm not sure quite how to do it, because I'm sure he doesn't see himself this way, and I'm not even sure sometimes whether, it just depends what the matter is. But I think he gets, in his case, I think he gets lonely, and he just wants to talk to people, and so he wants to talk about what he knows, right? But, and sometimes, this thought came to me one time, I'm not sure if it's accurate or not, but I think sometimes people, and guard your own, check your heart on this, sometimes people like to share information because it makes them feel better about themselves if they know something other people don't know. You know, like, I'm more important because I know this info, so I'm going to share with you and you're going to think I'm really insightful, right? You know, again, going back to motive. But guard it, you know, there's some people we can't afford, you know, we want to love all the people, but some people we don't dare share confidences with. So just be wise on that. Let me share one more and then we'll be done. And this one, again, is pretty easy to grasp. This is Proverbs 22:24-25. And this is talking about a hot-tempered man. Somebody who has a short fuse. This is the kind of person you don't want to get too close to. You love them, but you can't afford to be too close. Proverbs 22:24. Do not make, and again, I'm reading the NIV in this. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Isn't that interesting? Now, again, we want to reach out to especially lost people that need Christ. And with other people who... But there's a difference between loving people and really drawing close to them where they become best buds. And I think that's what we're talking about here. A person who has a hot temper and is not changing and not planning to change. Right? You have to... I was just trying to think if I should share this story or not. I have several I could, but there's nobody around here. But one time I was in a meeting in a situation, and I'll keep this very oblique. I was in a meeting with a situation, and the person that another person and I were responsible to carry out this meeting with some other people. And so we had this meeting, and we're trying to deal with a problem. I don't even remember what the problem is now. But the person that I was with in this situation had kind of a trigger temper. And so some things were said on the other side. And really, if we just kind of let it come down, it would have been fine. If you just let it. But... one of the people on the other side of the table were irritating. I understood that. They were irritated, and they were always pushing for their way. And I, you know. Anyway, this person made this outlandish determination. But it was done. It was already done. And it was like we were there together. So, I mean, it was a done deal. And so... the people on the other say, well, they definitely were insulted and upset and all of this. Well, it split a whole ministry. Because one person couldn't contain their trigger on anger. They were insulted, offended. Well, you know what? We go through life, you're going to be insulted, you're going to be offended, right? We all have been. The point is, how do we react to that? Now, that doesn't mean we never challenge or something, but that damaged a ministry that didn't need to be damaged. And so, but we were in that room together. I was identified with that decision. I couldn't go back on that decision. And I learned that little lesson. What? Watch who you go into a meeting with, especially if it's a, you know, it's a kind of a touchy meeting, right? And so we need to be cautious. But I mean, we all can make that mistake. But anyway, and there are a whole list of other things we'll talk about. But I think part of it is trying to help young people, and I'm trying to make this where it's applicable for others that we minister to, trying to help them pick good friends. You know, if they just read in Proverbs, they get some real insight, right? But they need to help. They need help in picking good friends, because bad friends will get you in terrible situations. And we could all share stories, but because it's time's up, we won't. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just pray for real help. We think of, I thank you so much for Proverbs. It's just your wisdom given to us in these nuggets. We thank you. Father, we need help, though, to apply it. And then help us mentor other people to apply it. We have people around us we love, and a lot of times we just need help to know how to help them. And especially in this area of friends, Father, we help us help others choose good friends that will help them walk their race and finish well. We pray in Jesus' name.